Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Pittsburgh player under 2 minutes with the clock running. Therefore, a 10-second runoff is applicable.
This game is over, folks.
They're only 5 seconds remaining in the game. The game is over.
Raiders win it, 26-17.
Brent Musburger and our guy Lincoln Kennedy calling the end of yesterday's Raiders win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going on the road on a short week, dealing with a bunch of injuries, traveling in our cross country, 10 a.m. game back home in Las Vegas. I was almost going to say California. Back home in Las Vegas. A lot to deal with, including a really good Pittsburgh Steelers team that, oh, by the way, just beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. A team that a lot of people think could go to the Super Bowl this year. What do the Raiders do? They basically controlled that football game. Too many field goals to start the game. Need to cash in more on those red zone visits with touchdowns. But the difference between last year and this year in that regard, yes, they want to score more touchdowns. It's obvious. The difference now is we've got a defense that we talked to some players about this yesterday, that when things aren't going 100% great with the offense and they're you know, stalling in the red zone or a penalty in the red zone, results in a field goal rather than scoring 7 points. They've got a defense that says, don't worry about it. We got your back. And we're going to create the necessary time by holding down the fort until you guys can get it together, which is exactly what happened Monday night against the Baltimore Ravens and yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's worth its weight in gold to have a defense that this offense can now truly rely on and trust. That hasn't been the case, not as long as I've been covering this team. If you didn't score a touchdown, it was, oh boy. Okay, yeah. Because I'm sorry, but the defense is not stopping anybody on any consistent kind of a basis. They can now, and it's interesting to watch that transformation of that defense. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. By the way, you're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Monday. The phone lines are burning up, and rightfully so. Raider 914, how you doing, man?
Vinny Bond, what do you say?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Happy birthday to Trey Mullen. Sick pick yesterday. I hope he gets about 10 to 12 more of those before the season's over. I want to shake the hands of the coach who got in Johnny Abrams' ear in the offseason. There was a couple plays last year I said, man, this guy's like a missile. He might be one of the best open field tacklers I've ever seen. But we all know what happened the rest of the season. Out of play, he's not playing in the right spot. He's all confused, I think, like the rest of the defense. And now he's playing composed, but he's still ready to smash your head in. I love it. I think he's got unbelievable talent. And one other thing, I'm not going to lie. I would love to see Carr throw the ball 50 times a game for 400 yards, but I want to keep it real. We got to establish a running game if we want to make a deep run at the end of the season. I don't know if it's our line. We're not creating any holes. We're not getting any push. We're protecting Carwell, but we're not getting any push when we try to run the ball. I think our running backs are getting hit 3 yards before the line of scrimmage when we hand the ball off. So there's a lot to be happy about, but I think we got to establish a run game pretty soon. What do you think, Vinny?
No, I totally agree, and thanks for the call. Always appreciate it. You know that. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I thought they found something, a little something-something toward the end of that game in the fourth quarter when they absolutely had to have it in terms of, you know, running some clock. As was mentioned before, they kind of went to some power football and just sort of strapped it on and attacked in the run game, and it got a little bit better. I think that, you know, for right now anyway, it's just something that the Raiders are going to have to work around because the injuries piling up on the offensive line. And of course, you know, Josh Jacobs isn't in the lineup. That's the guy right there in terms of the top running back. So it's something that the Raiders are going to have to figure out and manage until Josh can come back, until the line can get stabilized. And by stabilized, not just necessarily the injuries. You need to get Richie Incognito back. But, you know, Alex Leatherwood needs to build, more of a foundation, getting his legs under him, getting a better understanding of what he's doing. The Raiders getting a better understanding of what he's capable of and not putting him in some bad situations. And then Andre James, you know, working his way down the line, and all of which I expect to happen. I think this offensive line, as the season goes on, is going to get better. What they need is playing time together, and what they need is some stability in terms of the injuries. But I think that's going to happen, and if it does, along with Josh Jacobs getting healthy, I think the run game is going to develop as the season goes on. But in the meantime, it's nice to know, right? As a Raider fan, it's nice to know that you've got a quarterback like Derek Carr and a whole bunch of weapons that he's able to tap into to be able to make up for what they're not getting in the running game. And there's ways to also use the short passing game, especially with a Kenyon Drake, to kind of manufacture the equivalent of a run game with the passing game. And I'm sure the Raiders are going to be working on that as well. But I'm with you. You got to get a run game going. That's going to be a key to sustaining what the Raiders have built. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Mark is in New Jersey. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, Vinny. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
Great. The experts at this point had us 0-2. What do we do? We're 2-0. How do you like us now? So I had to say that for one thing. Coaching. I got to talk about coaching. Coaching, Tom Cable. I mean, look what he's done with this offensive line in the last 2 years. I mean, all he's had is revolving players constantly. And he just plugs and plays these guys, and they just seem to do real well. And then the defensive side of the ball, you know, you got Miles, Bradley, Marinelli, and Smith. These guys have got this defense playing in two games totally better. I mean, and that's all we asked for. We asked for this offense to have some kind of somewhat of a middle-of-the-road type defense. And look what we're getting. We're getting off the field. We're getting pressure on the quarterback. We seem like I have a new attitude. Listen to Mueller's interview. He seems totally bought in, focused, and ready to go. These guys have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. So, you know, that's helping us. And, you know, with offensively, Derek Carr is playing out of his mind. He's great. And, you know, last year he won 10 games for sure. It's just the defense that didn't hold up their end of the bargain. So, you know, he's, like I said, he's playing phenomenal. He's tough. He's just a really good player. And, you know, hopefully he's not hurt and his ankle's okay and he can continue to do this and we can continue to get pressure on our defense. Well, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, and regarding the ankle injury to Derek Carr, I know John Gruden talking about, you know, him being questionable, and I do know that he was sore when he woke up this morning, but some people close to him also told me he doesn't miss. And what they meant was he doesn't miss games. So I'd be shocked if Derek Carr couldn't go on Sunday. He's a baller and he's a gamer. And, you know, I know people have always laughed at the whole, some people anyway, that don't get what he's talking about. The Mamba mentality, which he drew inspiration that he draws from Kobe Bryant. Nobody's saying that he's Kobe Bryant. He's not saying that he's a Kobe Bryant, you know, the equivalent of Kobe Bryant. Mamba mentality is literally a mindset. Whatever it is that you do, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a sports writer like myself, whether you're somebody that I see working on the new building next to the Raiders headquarters, it's whatever you do, it's working your hardest to be the best and doing everything that you possibly can to be the best. And that includes if in sports, getting back on the field, even when you're injured, doing what you need to do rehab-wise, preparation-wise, to be at your best when your number gets called or you have to go out there and play. That's the Mamba mentality. And as a result of that, I truly believe, because the Mamba mentality came, you know, it dealt with when Kobe was hurt. He played. He figured out a way to be out there in spite of all kinds of injuries. And I think Derek Carr has taken a page out of that book because he gets out on the field. He's dealt with injuries before, but he goes out there and plays. And I give him a lot of credit for that. And I don't think he won't play. I think he will play on Sunday and probably play pretty well. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. We are going to go out to Rodney. How you doing, Rodney? Hey, Rodney, how you doing? Looks like Rodney is not there, yeah. So we will go to Rodney. Are you there?
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, okay, Vinny. Hey, how you doing, Rodney? Rodney, give us a call back. We'll get you right back on. Raider from the IE is on the line. How you doing, Raider from the IE? Raider from the IE, are we there? Next up is Ralph. Ralph, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, yes. Is this Ralph?
Yes, this is Ralph speaking.
Hey, Ralph, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, yourself?
Yeah, it is. I'm doing good, thank you.
I'm from Los Angeles. But my question was in regard to the secondary. Like, the Raiders seem like they pretty much have depth in all the positions. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like when Mullen and Hayward Burks got shaken up, we had no depth at the corner. And I was saying, with the cover three scheme, it seemed like we still should try to go get Sherman or somebody to that extent to get us over the edge.
It's possible. You know, thank you for bringing that up, by the way. Damon Arnette came in and gave up a long pass. We get it. He also made two nice plays in between that. And even on the long pass, I know, you know, he had a little bit of a brain freeze. I think he thought he was back in Ohio State, so he didn't. Down the player, you know, who went down, caught the ball, went down without contact. You know, he's thinking he's back in college where that's down and out and plays ends there. It doesn't in the NFL. He knows that. He'll learn from it. But even on that play, to be honest, and I, you know, I'm just going on what I saw. It wasn't terrible coverage. It was a good play by the wide receiver. So to me, Arnette was where he needed to be. He didn't come up with the play. It happens. It's the NFL. That's why they call it a 50-50 ball in those situations. So I know that, you know, he got some criticism, but, you know, in his role now, playing kind of the role that he's playing, which is if somebody gets hurt, that's when he's going to be out there. Or if they go into a dime look, or you know where they're playing with four defensive backs or four cornerbacks, that's when he's going to get his number called. Right now, it's hard to do. It's hard to be completely ready all the time. Like it's tough to just run out there and go stop, you know, one of the better wide receivers in the NFL or any wide receiver in the NFL. So he's going to have to figure out a way to stay ready for when his number is called. And I thought he did a pretty decent job of that yesterday. There was the one pass, the long pass that he gave up, but the others were, you know, understandable completions that didn't go for big yards. He also had a couple, if I remember correctly, some pass breakups. So, you know, I think there's still something there for Damon Arnette. He's just right now playing behind a much better player in Casey Hayward, who's lighten it up. And of course, Trayvon Mullen is doing his thing. So, and Nate Hobbs has taken ownership of the slot cornerback position. By the way, not talking about him enough. That dude is where he needs to be at all times. Really, the Raiders have come up with a very good young defensive back in Nate Hobbs. But I don't think the end is near for Damon Arnette. Just got to stick with it. Let him develop. He's playing behind a good veteran cornerback right now in Casey Hayward. Learn, watch, understand, grow, mature. And maybe on the other side of things, the Raiders end up with a player close to who they thought they were going to get with that first round pick. But he is in kind of a difficult position or a tough position right now. So you just have to have a little bit of patience as he figures out this new role. Raider, going back out to the Raider Nation listener line, because Raider from the IE is back. How you doing, Raider from the IE?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Vinny.
Of course. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to go back to, you know, we're all lauding the defense, which is really, really cool, and it's giving the offense a break. But I wanted to kind of go a little deeper. I mean, and really touch about, you know, the defensive assistants, you know, having Marinelli in there, having, you know, the system of having Gruden, what he's built. Kind of touching back with everything you talked about, this whole culture. It's not a trend. It's not a feeling. I think it's a lot deeper. You know, it goes back to showing the overall camaraderie. When we hear Foster Moreau talk, he was really talking about the love of them. Talking about when you hear Perriman, been there for a couple weeks, how he's just totally just latched onto the team and saying, wow, these guys are great. He didn't want to get vaccinated. He's like, I got to be with these guys. I got to be with these guys. And then you're watching Carr get hurt and everybody rushing out there like, God, we're family. That's my brother. This is deep. This is really deep. We got something growing here that I think is going to be contagious. That is not going to be easily broken if they do hit a snag. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%. And you know, I listen. I've been talking about it a lot. I've been writing a lot about it a lot. And I know people sometimes roll their eyes when good character gets brought up and good people gets brought up and culture gets brought up. But I listen, man, I have been doing this a long time. All right. And I've seen it firsthand. I've worked for teams. I used to work for the Los Angeles Lakers back in the day. I've covered teams. There is a discernible difference, a noticeable contrast between teams that have it together in that regard, teams that are built with good people, teams that have people and players that hold each other accountable, that want to be out there, that love to work, that love the camaraderie, that love the process, and teams that don't. And you don't even need that many that don't to really stir it all up and screw it all up, basically. But in contrast, this Raiders team, I mean, I can't think of a bad apple on this team. Everyone that we get a chance to talk to, everyone that I've watched in practice, everyone that I've talked to other players about, there really is a culture change that has happened with the Raiders, even in just the time that I've been there. And you could see it kind of coming. I went back to Wisconsin with Alec Ingold after his rookie year, hung out with him for about a week or so. And he was telling me at that point, you know, how much those players in that group, and we'll talk about this on the other side, were texting each other. Hey, I'm working out. What are you doing? Hey, I'm reporting. I'm doing this. What are you doing? What are you up to? Holding each other accountable, pushing each other, encouraging each other. And I felt like, and it was a big group because there was a lot of players in that draft and a whole bunch of undrafted free agents as well. I was like, wow, this is important right here. I know because I've seen it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on the other side. But right now, we're going to go out to our good friend Q, who's holding it down. Where are you, Q? Let the world know.
I'm still hanging out at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. Monday Night Football action. The Detroit Lions are up on the board early. Come hang out with us. We got all kind of drink specials. I got all kind of prizes that I'm about to give out as well. I have UNLV tickets. Got some Raider Nation Radio 920 t-shirts. Got all kind of good stuff to give away. Plus, like I said, drink specials, food specials, and, of course, football. And Allegiant Stadium is always being represented at all times around here. I got to shout out Allegiant Stadium. But, yeah, we're hanging out here at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino. It's on Tropicana right across from the MGM. Come hang out with us from Raider Nation Radio 920.
Very good. Hope you're having fun. Hope you're staying safe. I saw the calendar on you tweeted out a picture. So, I don't know, man. You might have to save one of those for me. I'm just saying. But anyway, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Monday. When we get on, when we on the other side, more of your calls, more analysis of what happened on Sunday yesterday over in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, and looking ahead to the Miami Dolphins.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
It feels great. It feels great. It's I was just telling Darren and Derek in the locker room, Carrier. It's kind of an attitude. It's an attitude thing, right? There's an air of confidence walking out onto the field for every unit that we have, which is extremely underrated, and I don't know if everyone can say that, right? A lot of teams work hard, and a lot of teams have a lot of good players, but I feel like we're really coming into our own and working hard, and we had a great week of practice, and we're happy to get out of here with a win. That's a really good Pittsburgh team, and they're probably going to go pretty far.
You know, as I'm, I don't quite understand it, but not having been around Raider Nation or covering the Raiders for a long, long period of time, a couple years now, I just never understood, and still don't really, the divide between, you know, the people that support Derek Carr and people that want to put Derek Carr on the first bus out of town. Even to right now, you know, it feels like there's an argument going on, an ongoing argument going on, of who deserves the most praise for what's going on right now. You know, is Derek Carr a better quarterback? Is it the talent around him? Is Derek Carr finally playing better? And it's almost like it's I don't know. I feel like it's trying to justify certain positions that people have had in the past, especially the people that have been overly critical of Derek Carr. Here's my thing. The two concepts aren't mutually exclusive. And I said this on Twitter. It can very well be, and actually is, that Derek Carr, now with the stability of working with John Gruden for four straight years, his personal development, which is natural, guys get better, players get better, is just now a better quarterback than he was in 2015, 2016. Why is that? That makes sense. Players get better, especially when you introduce an element that wasn't there for him for such a long period of time, and that's the element of stability, of scheme stability, of coach stability, of messaging stability. Derek Carr is 4 years running in the lab that is John Gruden's quarterback lab. Obviously, if it means anything to Derek Carr, and it means everything to Derek Carr, you're not going to go through that process and not be better off for it on the other end. Derek Carr has gotten better as a quarterback. Okay. Not to say that he was a bad quarterback before, but he's now a better quarterback. But it's also okay to say and admit and acknowledge another truth. That truth being everything around Derek Carr is much better now than it was pretty much at any point of his career with the Raiders. Sorry to the 2016 Raider fans that glorify that team and love that team so much. This is a better team than the one in 2016. It's not only a better team, it's got a more promising future. There's a lot to like about the foundation of this team, where this is headed, the structure of the organization, where they are from a salary cap perspective, who wants to be here, who being in Las Vegas, they're just set up better. So it's not a mutually exclusive proposition. Both concepts can exist at the same time. Derek Carr is a better quarterback than he was in 2015. Shocking. A guy has gotten better in the 6 years, four of which have been in the same system under John Gruden. Shocking, I know. But in the meantime, this current leadership, John Gruden, Mike Mayock, the scouting staff, the new coaching, all the coaches, have this organization, the infrastructure around a better quarterback in Derek Carr, much better than it ever has been. That's the reason why the Raiders are now winning football games, looking good and complete and efficient and coherent and connected in the process. They're not winning by the chin on their whiskers on their chinny chin chin. They're not lucking into wins. They're not miraculously winning games that they probably should have lost. They're just a better football team. They were the better football team yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers and went to their house and proved it. And proved they were the better team. Injuries and all. On both sides. Totally have to acknowledge that the Pittsburgh Steelers were dealing with some injuries. But the Raiders are a better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Raiders are as good a team as the Baltimore Ravens. Hard to say that they're better. The Baltimore Ravens are going to be pretty darn good before this is all said and done. You watch. But the Raiders have nothing to take a back seat on when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, who are a really good team. You shouldn't be ashamed to say we're as good as that team. Because I think if those two teams played 10 times, maybe it's 5-5. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how close those teams are. And that's not something to be ashamed of. Because you couldn't say that the last couple of years, I can assure you. The Raiders weren't even in the same class as the Baltimore Ravens. But they are now. And on Monday night, they showed it. They show that they were capable of beating an equally good football team. And that's no small task right there. Trust me. So this whole conversation that I'm seeing on Twitter, as if some people are trying to justify the positions that they've had by saying, well, you know, he's actually gotten better, as if that's a bad thing. Yes, of course he's gotten better. And oh, by the way, how about this? Oh, John Gruden is going to take over the Raiders and get rid of Derek Carr. That's the first thing he's going to do. Because you know what? John Gruden doesn't like young quarterbacks. John Gruden wants to go get his guy, his veteran quarterback. Well, I'm no mathematician, but by my recollection and my arithmetic, four drafts have come and gone. Four off seasons, free agency periods, trade periods have come and gone. And the one guy that everybody had on the first bus out of town, Derek Carr, is still here. The Raiders haven't even pretended to draft a quarterback of the future to challenge Derek Carr. They haven't even, like, what's the highest draft pick that they've invested? Have they even drafted a quarterback? I'd have to look. I don't want to say anything out of order here, but I don't remember that they've drafted a quarterback under John Gruden, who has neither drafted a quarterback to replace Derek Carr or traded Derek Carr in pursuit of his quote-unquote veteran quarterback. And you know what has happened in the process of all that? John Gruden has ended up with the veteran-type quarterback that he prefers. And he goes by the name of Derek Carr. And for maybe the first time in John Gruden's head coaching career, he has a quarterback that he's hand-developed. Derek Carr was a good quarterback when John Gruden took over the Raiders. He had every necessary skill asset that you could want in a quarterback. He was smart as a whip, is smart as a whip, had all the arm strength, could pick up offenses, knew what he was doing. He was a good quarterback prospect. He wasn't a finished product, obviously. He was what? I don't remember how, 4 years into his career. He wasn't a finished product. Some of that was the result of just the dysfunction that was going on around him in terms of the instability and the roster turnover and all that and the leadership changes. So he wasn't a finished product. But John Gruden, I sat in John Gruden with John Gruden just the other day, a couple weeks ago, saying, I liked this guy. When I took over, I liked the thought of working with Derek Carr. I felt like he was a good quarterback that I could work with and wanted to work with. You know, that which John Gruden has preached over and over and over again, just seems to go in one ear and out the other for a lot of people, especially my national colleagues from across the country. I'm not begrudging them. They have a job to do. They see things the way they see things. Oftentimes when you're three steps removed from a situation, I'm not going to say you're talking out of your you-know-what, but sometimes you're talking out of your you-know-what, just straight up. But John Gruden kept trying to tell people, no, I actually like the guy. I think there's a lot to work with here. And look what happened. He ends up with his veteran quarterback. He ends up with the veteran quarterback that everybody kept saying John Gruden was going to go out and get. But instead of trading for that guy, John Gruden actually took the time to work with a younger quarterback and got him to veteran status. And now Derek Carr, at 29 years old, is arguably playing the best football of his career. And so much of that is on Derek Carr and the hard work that he's put in, the understanding of this offense that he has, the command of this offense that he has. But it's also the effect that John Gruden, the positive effect that John Gruden has had on him. And it's also the result of, hey, you know what? When you put better players around a good quarterback, guess what happens? Better things happen. It actually makes the other guy, the quarterback, play better. Lo and behold, funny how that works. Derek Carr is playing better with better players around him. Derek Carr is playing better, playing alongside a better defense. You know, the whole thing about the better defense, you know, we can crunch the numbers all we want. Oh, well, it gets him the ball back more. Yeah, definitely it does. It definitely gets him the ball back more. When you have a good defense that's making more consistent stops, Derek Carr and the offense get the ball back, he can do other more things with it. But it's not just that. Everything that John Gruden did last year from a play-calling standpoint, every single thing, was partly the result of, or an acknowledgement of, what he knew he didn't have defensively. You think John Gruden's an idiot? You think John Gruden was sitting there calling plays thinking, yeah, I've got the 1984 Chicago Bears defense. I could do whatever the hell I want. I could throw it. I could chuck it. I could do this. I could do that. I don't have to worry about the clock. I don't have to worry about giving the ball to the other team. I don't have to worry about any of that because I've got a great defense. He knew he didn't have a good defense. Anybody with any kind of sense knew he didn't have a good defense. So what do you do in that regard? What do good coaches do in that regard? And right on down to the quarterback too. You try to coach around it. You try to manage it. You try to mitigate it. You try to, help a weakness by not overexposing it. So everything that the Raiders did, John Gruden included last year, was partially in response to what he didn't have defense. That changes your play calling. It changes your mindset. All of that. So now look at the more chances that they're taking on the field. He knows he has a better defense. Absolutely. We're going to go out to our guy Q Myers. Underground, it turns out. Having a lot of fun with some fans and eating some good food, drinking some good drinks. How you doing, Q?
I am good, man. We are here still at the Underground Lounge inside the Oyo Hotel and Casino, watching the game. It is 7-7 right now, the Lions and the Packers. I actually expected the Packers to come into this game and really kind of put their will on the Lions, but the Lions are hanging tough early in the first quarter. So, yeah, we're here hanging out. A lot of good food, like you mentioned, a lot of good drinks, and a lot of good prizes to give out, man. A lot of T-shirts, calendars. Vinny, I know you saw the calendar already. Probably see me with pictures of the calendar in my hand and everything. Lots of good stuff to check out. Trust me. I know.
I'm not in front of a TV. How's my guy Jared Goff playing?
He's actually doing pretty good. He's not doing bad. He threw a touchdown pass already. So he's doing pretty good. Again, like, the Lions are hanging tough, man. This is a interesting game where I didn't think it was going to be as interesting. I thought the Packers were going to come in here and really try to take advantage after getting blown out by Jameis Winston and the Saints a week ago. I thought, okay, they're going to come in here with an attitude. But this is a tough game, man. It's 7-7 right now with 31 seconds left in the first quarter.
All right. Look forward to checking it out. Q, thank you. Have fun out there. And you'll be out there every Monday, right? Is that the where I'm hearing?
Yeah, every Monday, as long as the Raiders aren't playing, which they'll be playing a couple weeks from now against the Chargers up in L.A. But any week that the Raiders aren't playing, I'll be here starting at 2 o'clock, and who knows when it ends. You know me. I don't have any stop sign when it comes to the party.
I do know you, Q, and I envy you, my brother. I really do. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Q Myers. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignore.
The absolute worst thing in the world are the preseason rankings and talk shows and, sorry, Dave, but, you know, all that stuff, right? He's one of y'all, too, so, you know, all that preseason stuff, none of it matters. Like, that's the beautiful thing about football is, like, I say all the time, you still got to put the ball down. You still got to play. And whatever team put the work in and is on their stuff, is on the details, that team's going to ultimately, hopefully, end up winning, you know. And that's why I don't blame them for thinking that we wouldn't be. I mean, we haven't done what we've wanted to do for the last couple of years. You know, we haven't been to playoffs since 2016. You know, I don't blame that thought process. But at the same time, like, just as a competitor, you're just like, look, I don't care about any of that. Just put the ball down and let's see if we can turn these into wins. Now, we've started 2-0 before, but we got to keep going. You know, we can't let this thing go downhill. So, keeping the mindset, staying in the process, staying in the channel, those are all the things that matter.
That's Derek Carr responding to a question I actually asked him, which was, hey, you're starting against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, two physical, historically good football teams. A Monday night, that Pittsburgh game coming off the Monday night game against the Baltimore Ravens, a lot of injuries. Not a lot of people predicted that the Raiders would be 2-0 right now. In fact, if you follow the odds makers and all that, they were not favored to win either one of those games, flat out. They were the decided underdogs in both of those games. And I kind of sat back and what I've noticed about this team all throughout is, like, they don't care. You know, there's a belief on this team. Foster Moreau talked about it. It's something in the air. There's something in the air, and there's confidence in each group when each group takes the field defensively, offensively, special teams. You know, when I visited with John Gruden and he was kind of walking me through the process of building this team, you know, one thing he pointed out was, look, this isn't Madden. You can't just magically go get players. There's a salary cap. There's only so many draft picks that you have. There's certain players from time to time that just don't want to be there. You have to understand that players have their own agendas and their own wishes and their own desires. So, and you have to make it work with all these different dynamics that are going on that you have to deal with and put together a good team. And, you know, he was like, we found our kicker, we found our punter, we went out and got our left tackle. He's naming all the positions, and I know it's like, oh, you know, it's not hard, it's not easy to do that, and you're going to have some swings and misses along the way. The Raiders thought that they drafted a cornerstone defensive tackle or defensive end in Cleve Farrell. It turns out he's probably not that guy. And I know everyone harps on that, but you're not going to hit home runs on every pick or every transaction that you make. But you got to. But as long as you're stacking up doubles with a home run here or there, and a hard single going the other way, and just getting as many good players as you possibly can, you're not going to have great players at every position. But as long as you're getting good to great, efficient to really good, you know, as long as you're mixing that together. And slowly but surely building a roster. Don't discount Daniel Carlson. They got him off the scrap heap. The Minnesota Vikings, in their infinite wisdom and an impulsive coach who lacked patience in Mike Zimmer, decided to cut Daniel Carlson, what, two games into his rookie season after the Vikings invested a fairly high draft pick in him. That's just dumb. That's like, you know, if you're in this business, you have to at some point have a little bit of patience. And Mike Zimmer said the guy struggled a little bit early on. And Mike Zimmer said, "I will go find somebody else." You see what happened to the Vikings yesterday? Again, their kicker let him down on an easy 34-yard field goal to win the game. Could have had Daniel Carlson, but no, he was impulsive, and the Raiders swooped him up. They found their kicker, and he's a damn good one. They got a good punter. They've retooled their defensive line. It's now deep and effective. They, you know, on the fly, rebuilt their linebacker room at the end of training camp, trading for Denzel Perryman, signing KJ Wright. They go out and get Casey Hayward, who's been a revelation right now. Trayvon Mullen, a draft pick, you know, a second round draft pick, is panning out. Foster Moreau, what was he, a fourth rounder, fifth rounder? Hunter Renfro, Josh Jacobs. You don't think the Raiders are deep? Josh Jacobs, see how they ran the ball yesterday and the week before with an unhealthy Josh Jacobs? I mean, yeah, Clee Farrell is a miss. You know, Tanner Muse was a miss. We'll see what happens with him in Seattle. You know, the running back that they drafted from Kentucky, Lynn Bowden, was a miss. But there's been some hits, too, now. Let's not forget that for a moment. A lot of them, actually. It's why the Raiders are 2-0 right now. They've done a pretty good job, a really good job, actually, of building this roster. You're not going to bat 1,000. And if I'll say this. If you're only going to focus on the negatives, you're not in this business. You're not going to be able to do this business. If you're going to dwell on the negatives... And I'll tell you this too: learn from the mistakes. If you're not going to do that, then you're not for long. Yeah, the Raiders have missed on some draft picks. Remember the year that the Rams drafted Aaron Donald? They also drafted a tackle, I believe, with the second round from Auburn, who is no longer in the league. He was a bust. You're not going to hit 1,000. You're not going to bat 1,000. But you keep working, you keep putting it together, you keep, you know, trusting your process and trusting your eyes and trusting your scouts and trusting your intelligence and learning from your mistakes. That's a critical component in all of this, learning from your mistakes. But all I do know is 4 years into this, the Raiders have a pretty darn good roster that they've built in a complete rebuild. Aside from Derek Carr, this has been a complete rebuild from top to bottom. And as I look at them on the field yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers and a week ago against you know, the Baltimore Ravens, I can't sit here and say that either one of those teams are just flat out better than the Raiders. I think the Raiders are better than the Steelers. And I think they stand right up face to face, eye to eye with the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens are a pretty good team. So and that's a credit to what the Raiders have been doing, all the work that they've put in. And it's come with a lot of criticism. I think it's come with a lot of impatience. People think that there's a magic wand that you can just, you know, float in the air and change things and fix things. It doesn't work that way, not in the NFL. Watch how long it's going to take Urban Meyer, if they stick with them, a little bit of time to get that thing going. It's just hard to do, especially if you are uncertain at quarterback. But, you know, the Raiders have, believe it or not, shown steady progress. It wasn't last year. They should have won more games, but their defense just wasn't ready yet. That offense was a 10-11 win offense, period. The key now, of course, is keeping it going. And I think the depth that they have is going to put them, and the defense, obviously, is going to put them in a better position to sustain it. We'll see. I want to say thanks to Trayvon Mullen, the birthday boy and one of the heroes from yesterday's big win for the Raiders. Thank you for spending some time and joining us in the huddle. Thanks to Q Myers, who's doing his thing, spreading the word of Raider Nation wherever he goes. That guy has been a blessing for Raider Nation Radio. Trust me when I say that. Nobody works any harder. And he's out spreading the word, and that's exactly what we need. And I hope you guys appreciate the hard work that he's putting in. I want to say thanks to Damon Cotton for everything that he does, holding down the fort. Thanks to the callers. I know you guys are fired up, and I know that there's a little bit, and I wouldn't say skepticism, but you don't want to hope too much right now. You don't want to get too excited right now, and that's a good place to be. It's day by day, snap by snap, rep by rep, week by week, game by game. Just enjoy the process and enjoy it all unfolding. Nobody deserves it more than Raider Nation. We'll check back with you tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Lincoln Kennedy, our great friend and my great colleague, will be back with us. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Monday. Have a great day. Enjoy the game. See you guys tomorrow. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.